What do you think of our new entrance? Do you like our new opener?
I need to know. It sounds a lot like a helicopter. Or it's like you're feeding a baby in a high chair like spoonfuls of food and trying to make noises.
That's what it is. I'm spoon feeding all of you information about movies. That's what it is. No, I'm not. I'm not doing that in the slightest. Hi, hello, and welcome. We're the Murder Moose Podcast. We're part of the Slash and Cast Podcast Network.
It's in the game.
It's in your ass.
It's in your ass, kid. Ken, remember you.
That is in my ass.
Your magical.
Wait, no, it's your ass. That's the giant gaping asshole. I'm Continue. This is Rod. Welcome on in. Rod likes to stick giant raccoons in his asshole, and we don't judge him for that here, okay? Not in the slightest. I mean, if he judges himself, that's on him. I don't have anything to do with that.
I mean, me judging myself is just like a repetition of like my life that's been going on for 40 years, so here we are. It's amazing what happens when you have a mother who doesn't show any love for her child.
Oh, I think that you should have all of the love in the world.
I'm starting to wonder how autistic I apparently am. I'm like,
Rod's had a great week. Okay. Rod's had a great week.
I'm going on 2 weeks of great weeks, and it is something that I'm like, okay, I'm going with it. And here we are.
Nice.
And I'm going to die by myself.
No.
Cuddling Zelda and going, Rod, the cod has a big rod. I'm just singing Kin songs that she sings about me in her stream now.
I sing about Rod's giant penis on a regular basis. It's important that the world knows.
Yep. And yet, it's never progressed.
Maybe,
anywhere.
Have we thought about maybe the fact that your penis is just too big and that's the problem we're running into?
Well, I would maybe agree with that if anyone was seeing my penis and running with it on a kid.
I don't know. There was an attempt, okay?
There was an attempt. There's a lot. I mean, I'm good at attempting. I'm real good at attempting. I'm also real good at face planting on my face. I go ka-chunk, and then I face plant.
Hey, but the thing is that you try, right? You attempt. And okay, so people say that shit, and you're always like, oh, yeah, good. But then in the back of your head, you're like, yeah, or I could have not. But you know what? No, fuck it. You wouldn't know if you didn't try it. There you go.
It's true. And now I have a poodle staring at me and demanding treats because she now knows where the treats are.
Poodle.
She comes and stares at me and puts her head on my armrest and like goes, Daddy, please may I have some treats, Daddy? Daddy, please may
Father!
I have some
treats.
Father, may I have some treats, Father? Oh, shit.
Did you know that I have the same saved image of a tattoo 4 different times on my desktop? I should probably clean my desktop up.
I mean,
that's a side note, but
that just sounds like Continue 101. I was looking around on my hard drive today, my external hard drive where I keep like podcast episodes and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I made Ken an animated emote today, and I was looking through shit, and I'm like, I found like all these weird images, and then I found the time I made a penis with a top hat and a cape and a mustache, and I now that I'm saying that out loud, maybe I should. I'm just like, I don't know if I've ever sent this to Ken, and I'm going to
you need to send it to me. Yes,
I'm gonna send this to you. Oh God,
I'm ready.
Oh shit. Okay, God, thank God.
You send it to the wrong person?
No, I just realized that it comes up on my screen. So I was like, but no, it's not on there. Thank sweet baby Jesus. Okay.
I have the vacuum baby from Oversex Rug Suckers from Mars saved as an image on my computer. So I really want that as an emote, but I don't know. I need somebody to like enhance it.
Okay.
I should just drop it in Discord.
So I'm gonna do this. Oh, disregard that, everybody. And I'm gonna put this. I'm gonna put this image in your inbox again.
Okay, I'm ready. Let me see this.
When I was first learning to use Photoshop type thing,
I thought it was a drawn penis, and the fact that it's fully a penis makes it even better. I love it.
I took a picture of a boner. And I put a cape and a top hat and a mustache on it. It's very.
I feel like wasn't that because it was something we had been talking about? Like
I don't know, maybe.
Because we were talking about doing costumes on your cock when you were doing OnlyFans.
Maybe I think that was before even that. I don't know.
Oh okay. No, it was because you told me about this.
Yeah.
Is this your cock?
No, I wouldn't send it to you for my cock. No.
I was like, this is kind of awkward now, but
no.
Acceptable, but awkward.
I found it on the internet. I wouldn't
I found
do
this
own.
Cock. Have you seen this cock?
Have you seen?
Whose cock is this?
It might have been an image, Google image search. I'm not completely sure. It's been a couple of years, I think, at this point. And here we are.
That's amazing.
Yeah, there it is. It is a penis. It's a very elegant penis.
It is. It needs a monocle, though.
I think I tried a monocle at one point, and I was having problems finding a PNG monocle that wouldn't, like, you know, overlap.
Look like
it
a in... big old herpy.
Yeah. So, Ken, we have to semi get into the podcast at some point, but like we'll transition there slowly. But I have to say, you were very excited last week for Dragon's Dogma 2. And you didn't stay excited for Dragon's Dogma 2 very long.
No. I played like 5 hours of the actual game and immediately was like, fuck, you have to play less than 2 hours before you can return it on Steam. I don't know why in my head, other than the gameplay trailers that we saw and, you know, just everything in general that I saw for the game, that I expected it to be something that it wasn't. And then even then, it would have been fine if it would have fucking ran okay. But like you go into one of your first big cities and it's just like a flip book. And you're like a flip book ran better than some of that shit. Yeah. And it's not my computer. I'm rocking an i9 with a 3090 Ti water-cooled graphics card. Like it ain't me. 32 gigs of RAM. It ain't me. It's the game. Having to kill NPCs in the big city. To be able to play.
I saw they were like chucking NPCs off of a cliff.
Yeah. And I mean, like it wasn't bad and it definitely would have been a good game had it been what I thought it was going to be. So yeah. I don't give a fuck about the microtransactions. Whatever. You're going to use them or you're not. Who cares? Like if the microtransactions were required to complete the game or if there's DLC that you have to have in order to complete the game, then I have a problem with it. I do think it's bullshit that in a first-person game you need microtransactions to be able to do shit like change your character look, especially if the game is $80. But I don't know. I just overall, it was a very disappointing game. And yeah. AJ bought it for me, but we spent $80 on that game. That's $80 that I could have, you know, shoved up my ass or something and had more fun with. So,
I mean, I don't know how good of a dildo you can get for $80, but you could probably, it'd be better, more fun than that game.
Could buy 8 blunts. Okay. More than that. I could, play 80 rounds of $1 slots, not 80 rounds, 80 lines of $1 slots.
You know, it's funny. You started going off about gambling this morning. And
8,000
like,
pennies. I'm sorry.
I was laughing because I'm like, God, I sometimes I forget that Ken's like an accounting kid. Like she is a like an accounting major who like her vagina
my degree
gets
is in economics and I get her, very excited about math.
Yeah, it's like Kin's like, she when she wants to have sex, she doesn't watch porn. She puts on like, she opens up Microsoft Excel sheets and she's like,
the last, like, so the person that I've been like talking to you or whatever, they were talking about retirement one day and they were like, yeah, you know, like I want to start retiring or I want to start saving for a retirement fund and I want to do some investing. And I was like, keep going. I'm almost there. Like, and they were like, what? And I was like, I am so close. Keep going.
I was just,
it was a really good conversation.
How you were talking about gambling. And I'm just like, oh my God, I sometimes forget because Kin in all of her like chaos of bipolar ADHD kinness, you sometimes forget how intelligent she is. Not because she's dumb ever, but like, it's the thing where you go, oh yeah, Kin was like basically valedictorian of her high school and like, and like uses Excel sheets like they're like, I don't know, Viagra. So here we are.
Yeah. Yeah, yep. I got brain. Sometimes I think that it would be, if I was more confident, I would display it more often. But I've for years thought that I was wrong about a lot, so I didn't. The internet does a great job of kicking you in the dick over that too. Like, yep. You make one wrong statement, and they're like, "Oh, this fucking dumbass." So,
yep. Oh, believe me, I know. Oh, believe me, I know. I was telling my therapist last week that like how like not like.
Did you say therapist?
Therapist, I said last week about how I'm like I've never been good at like promoting myself for anything, like, you know, like streaming or whatever, and I'm just like, I wonder why. So, okay, Kin, before we go into part two of trying out the Pope's Exorcist, have you been watching anything? I know you started a new series of D&Ders 101.
Yeah, we watched Calamity. It's hard for me to get into one-shot campaigns because I like all the character development, and I think that I'll appreciate Calamity more if I go back and rewatch the first one, but that's like 5 hours, so it'll be a bit. And then I've been watching a lot of my Slightly High Historian TikToker that I love. That's her name, is Slightly High Historian. But I watch her shit every morning. And then last podcast on the left just completed their David Icke series, which was awesome because they discussed his beliefs on lizard people. They discussed all of his concepts and then also explained why he's such a piece of shit. So it was good. It was really good. What about you?
Let me see. I watched X-Men 97, the new X-Men cartoon, which was really good. I went and saw Ghostbusters, which was a movie. It wasn't bad.
Really? I heard it was really good. My little Ghostbuster friend that's like addicted, like has grown up with it, has a Ghostbusters tattoo. He said it was really good. You didn't like it?
No, it was just fine.
Gotcha.
It was one of those movies you go.
It was whelming. It wasn't underwhelming. It wasn't overwhelming. It was just whelming.
Yep. It was very much like, let's get more nostalgia, but like, I don't know. Like, there's a lot of it. Like, Slimer was in it, and you're just like, why is Slimer still running around? And I don't know. It's just like a lot of things, and I'm just like, Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray both look ancient. I mean, Bill Murray especially looks ancient, but like,
he looks like he's holding on by a thread. Yeah. Like, that poor man, somebody needs to help him.
I mean, I remember like him in Zombieland, he looked old. And I know part of that is the zombie makeup, but like, yeah, he was like, he looked old in that movie. And I still, what's your regret? Garfield. But like, I'm just like, yeah, it's fine. It wasn't bad. But it was just like, it was way too many of the things that are just like, I don't know. There's a lot of
weaponized nostalgia?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's millennials are the target audience for weaponized nostalgia. They're like things like We Are Young. When we were young, the festival and like this other like the there's like a more metal version of it like that's like in a like next month or something like that. Like all of them are just aimed at people like my age and younger, because I'm like at the I'm in like the front end of being a millennial.
Yeah, you're an elder millennial.
Yeah, and
I fall close behind an elder millennial status, but not super far.
You're like in the you're a mid millennial. Is what you are.
I'm right. Mid, okay.
But yeah, so it was fine. I enjoyed it, but it didn't make me laugh all that much, and still always better than the female Ghostbusters, which didn't even
seem
painful.
Like painful.
That movie was painful, and it wasn't because it was women. I went and saw it, and it was a movie that had no originality, and
yeah.
It seemed like they were just like, oh, we have a script. You guys can just make shit up, and there you go, and that's the movie. And so that was that. So those are the kind of things I've been watching. They just did release the Alien Romulus trailer, and that makes me horny. Talking about things that make me horny. That Alien Romulus trailer looks so good. And yes.
I want to, let me see.
Have you watched that yet?
Not yet. There's nowhere here showing, so I have to wait until it comes out on Shudder.
No, Alien Romulus.
Talking about the trailer. I thought you were talking about something else that I will talk about in a minute. No, I haven't, and that does sound really good.
Yes, that and then people were mad. I mean, I think we talked about it, like the Crow trailer where people are going off about, and I think the Crow trailer looks good. And I just think it's funny how angry people are getting about it. And yeah.
People get angry about everything. And it feels like anything that I'm excited about, people are pissed off about. And I'm like, dude, just please, just let us have one thing that we can all be happy about, or at least let me be happy. Yeah. Like, just ignore me. Just leave me in my bliss. I don't give a fuck. Like, just let me live. Just let me exist.
It just, like, the whole you don't yuck on other people's yums, but there's a, like, a big proportion of our society that loves to yuck on people's yums, so.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I'm just ready for Late Night with the Devil. I'm just ready. I just need it in my grubby little eyeballs.
That movie's not been, it's been getting some negative attention.
Tell me that.
You didn't know
as
about
in it's bad or no, as in like it's problematic.
Like they used, there are like three or four images that they didn't need to use, but they used anyways that were AI made, and like people found out and they were like, why the fuck did you do this? And people have gotten upset about it. So.
Wait. So because they used AI images, people are mad, or because of what the images had?
No, because they used AI images.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, that's ass. But I'm still going to see it.
Yeah. It
looks really good. It's got great reviews.
I did laugh at them trying to claim they made $666,000 over the weekend, or $66,600 or whatever. Like, it was just trying to make it the devil's day. And I'm just like, you guys are ridiculous. And that looks good. And then in the other one with Sydney Sweeney in Inheritance, or what the fuck is that? Eminence? Is that what it's called?
I think that's what it's called.
Immaculate.
But it does keep... Immaculate. Isn't immaculate.
Yeah.
It keeps popping up everywhere, and I'm like, yes. And I like her a lot. So I'm pretty stoked for that. I don't remember what the release date is, but man, if they don't have marketing
it comes out the week this weekend, it seems like. And yet it doesn't come to my Alamo Draft House, because my Alamo Draft House is a small one of the three of us here. And so they don't get all the crazy little movies like that. And I'm like,
dude, it's getting promoted everywhere. I'm shocked that it's considered little. Do we have a stream release date for this? Because I really want to watch it, but the closest movie theater here is 2 hours away.
I don't know. I mean,
and the only way I'm going to be able to go is if I do a carpool with, like, there's like three or four women in town that go see horror movies like once a month. But like they only pick a particular one. So if they don't choose to see it, then like I'd have to be that asshole that goes by myself.
There aren't that many horror movies out right now, luckily. Although, I don't know if you've seen the trailer for the tarot card one. That looks kind of weird. There's a tarot, like a card horror movie coming out too that it was, I saw a trailer before Ghostbusters. So, okay. Ken, let us dive in to our second attempt of The Pope's Exorcist. Yes, from 2023, starring Russell Crowe. And do you want to read a synopsis, Ken?
Oh, wow. I would be flattered. Thank you so much. Follow Gabriel Amorth, the Vatican's leading exorcist, as he investigates the possession of a child and uncovers a conspiracy the Vatican has tried to keep secret. Came out in, what did we say, 2023? Yep.
Yep.
2023?
I was
starring
laughing.
Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe just in his full, like, I'm going to ham this up as hard as I can in the best way possible. And it just, it lovely. You know, people gave shit to his Italian accent. I thought it was fine. I thought it was good. At least it was consistent and everything like that, right? And yeah. But
there wasn't a whole lot of the babada boops and the bada da bings.
So if you haven't seen it, I'm just going to just go watch this movie. It's a lot of fun. One of the better exorcists. There's a lot of exorcism movies that came out last year. But this movie was way better than the fucking Exorcist movie that came out last year. That garbage pile. So go watch it because I want to talk about something immediately that made me laugh a lot. And I was talking about it in my stream yesterday, Ken. And we went from there. But like I was telling – so – my friend Liz is in, I think she's in graduate school in England, and her like whole thing is like it's like theology kind of stuff, you know? So she's like writing papers on like theology and like in like masculinity in the church and stuff like that. And I was telling her about this movie blaming the Spanish Inquisition on demon possession, and she was just laughing.
That's really funny.
Because it is, you literally take like the most like one of the most, it probably is the most like black stain on the church for the last 300 years or whatever the fuck it is. And they went, but no, that wasn't our fault. This guy was possessed by the devil or possessed by a demon. And that's why it happened. We didn't do it. It wasn't our fault. It wasn't our fault. And that just, it made me laugh because the Spanish Inquisition, they were doing a lot of shit to make these people try to be Catholic, and it did not. They tortured and killed a lot of people. A lot of people. I don't know how many, but they killed a lot of people. So, yes, I just made that. That just made me laugh. So this guy was a real priest, right? So it's kind of like this movie is kind of.
Yes, he was. While Russell Crowe was researching the life and work of Amorth, he found that his personal favorite movie was The Exorcist. So Amorth had gone to become good friends with the director of The Exorcist back in the day. And then there was a documentary that was created, The Devil and Father Amorth, in 2017. That was directed by the director of The Exorcist. I would really like to watch that.
Yeah, that sounds like it'd be interesting for sure. Like, you know, it's funny because it's like, we've both been out of college for a while. I've been out of college for longer than you, but like nearly 20 years at this point. I'm calling myself old, Ken. I don't know why you're acting like that. I know.
I just felt like acting like a child.
I mean, yes, I know. Theology was one of those things that I've always been super like it interests me, but like I never did any of it in college or anything like that because it was too busy.
I didn't
like,
either, and I wish that I would have, but we didn't have a lot of options for it. I mean, like my major didn't have it, which is sad because theology would have benefited you from a business perspective.
Yeah, I mean, you could use Jesus to help swindle people in the South. I mean. But
holy water comes straight from this well, blessed by the Lord Jesus's tears. Get your holy water only $50 a jar.
Oh, and you know what?
You are not included.
You know what? You just reminded me of. I saw that Scott Derrickson was tweeted out the other day that his kids had never seen the Exorcism of Emily Rose, and so he was showing it to him for the first time. So I thought that was kind of cool.
That is cool.
Man, I'm still mad that I didn't get like my ex like used to work with the sister-in-law to Scott Derrickson, and then she died of COVID, and so I never got to like set up a meeting with him and like. Because I really wanted to talk to him, but never got to. And
that
sucks. Yeah. The world of COVID, man. The world of COVID.
Speaking of money, nobody was speaking of money. But in case you were wondering, the Pope's exorcist budget was $18 million. And it grossed... $77 million worldwide. Every time I do this, I think to myself, what in the absolute fuck? At what point does money just stop being money? Like, I feel like once you get past $5 million, it's just not even, it doesn't even exist anymore. Like, see, I could see, you know, like a million because you would like buy a nice house, buy a car, you know, buy somebody else a house, whatever. And there's $1 million gone, right? But like, once you get past $5 million, what the fuck is money? Like,
I mean, what? I don't know if you know anything about what all the billionaires are doing right now. And they're all building like end times, like fallout shelter homes. And you hear all the things they're doing with that. And like, it's like Facebook shit nugget and lizard person himself, Elon Musk, like building these, just spending extraordinary amounts of money doing things that just like don't make any sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. You spend $46 billion. Is that how much it was that he paid for Twitter? Was it 46 billion or 46 million?
No,
regardless,
it was 46 billion.
That's fucking disgusting.
Yep. Especially when he's turned it into a racist like hate hole again, which is just like, mm-hmm. I mean, even more,
and
like,
he's back to talking about getting rid of the block button.
Yeah because everyone has a block. He has to be the most blocked individual. You know what? It's funny. It's not even funny. I hate it now because now every time you block someone on Twitter, he tries to sell you Twitter, whatever.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's just like.
And ads. Oh my God. I get the same fucking bullshit ads over and over. So I just block them. And then it's like, oh, you're. No.
And then Ken diarrhea's in their mouth. Directly in their mouth.
I have a lot of opinions right now about a lot of things.
I mean, you always have a lot of opinions about a lot of things.
I do.
It's why I love you. It's why I love you. But this, I like this movie. It's funny. You say $17 million, and I think that my only real issue, or $18 million, that my only real issue with this movie is the CG in the very end feels very rushed, and. We're living in America, we're like, we know what Marvel's been doing to the visual effects artists. You're like, oh, okay, that's why they probably rushed them to do it. But it's insane because you go and look at like Godzilla Minus One came out last year, right, and won all these awards and stuff like that, and its budget was like $10 million or something like insane, like
really?
But they worked on the movie for like 3 years, so they like let their visual artists like actually work on the fucking movie and not just like cram timed them and rushed them. So the CG looks as good as like most like, you know, things like Marvel movies because it's not like just rushed, right? They let these people go through and do this stuff. And I think that really is like this movie's like it's not it doesn't do a ton that's like. Real original, like when it comes to exorcism movies, but I do like that they add this whole thing about the, you know, the Spanish Inquisition and all that stuff, and it's a cool little twist, and it's like I feel like they do a lot with a little or like, you know, setting. I mean, it's a big old house in mm-hmm. Spain, but like, and then
still it's a limited location and everything.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Spanish Inquisition, just as just a quick side note, so I don't forget it. On the well, there's an insignia that is supposed to represent the Spanish Inquisition. Don't worry, it's the insignia from the video game Dragon Age Inquisition.
Is it really? Yes. Did they do that on purpose, or was that like a like?
I remember reading somewhere that it was done on purpose, and then somewhere else said that it wasn't done on purpose. So I don't know for sure, but I just know that that is factual.
That's pretty funny. So it's like someone Googled Spanish Inquisition, found that image, and put it in.
That's all. That I mean, maybe. But I remember when it came out, people were talking about it. And I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that is pretty interesting. And I do like, man, I like Dragon's Age, like 1 and 2. I really like those games. I don't like Inquisition, let's be honest. But yeah, it is. Those are fun games, especially the first one. And pretty cool. Pretty cool. As Ken is playing through her, like, her one of my favorite games of all time right now in her stream with Witcher 3, because that game is so good.
It's so good. The only thing is like, I feel like I've hit a wall, and I was gonna stop and play Elder's Gate. That's not it. That's Baldur's Gate mixed with Elden Ring. Jesus Christ, Elder's Gate. That's the name of the retirement home. I was going to stop and play Elden Ring tomorrow, but I guess I'm like not terribly far from the end of the game. So,
man,
I'm going to go back and play more of The Witcher, but I actually have to play the story and not just side quest out like I typically do.
I mean, Ken, you are like, of all my favorite streamers, and you're up there, you, the only person who even slightly competes with the, making a drawing out the length of a game is Zeke. And Zeke doesn't even compete with you, like, if you're being honest. Like, you have more hours in Baldur's Gate 3 that you should have beaten that game and then never did before you, like, went to Canada the first time. And now it's just, like, you've kind of given up. You're like, I've gone too far. It was the same thing. Like, Zeke was playing it in his free time and then went to Burning Man and then just never went back to it.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, I feel like, you know, because watching, like, other people play through and listening to them talk about how excited they are about their stories, I'm like, dude, I don't fucking remember what I did. I don't even know if I'm good or bad anymore. Like, I don't know. We'll have to start over, but I've got 200 hours in, and I don't want to restart right now, so we'll do that later. Yeah. But I do, sometimes, part of that is, like, stretching out games to find side content that like relates to things, like so many Easter eggs, and it's fun and, you know, whatever. And then sometimes it's just to be mindless, but I don't know, kind of like this movie wasn't mindless.
Yes, it wasn't mindless. It's very like it very much stays on the topic, right? And it's very like it gets to the point real fast. Like, I mean, you start off with that the goat scene where like he goes in and like the guy is not possessed, but he thinks he is, and Russell Crowe thinks he's like mentally ill. So he like acts like he's like scaring the demon into the goat and then shoots the goat. So the guy thinks the demon's gone, which is interesting.
Which
and
we learned from that one movie that you don't do that. You don't kill those. That's how you make it spread.
Yeah. Well, that movie was also very
popcorn bucket kid.
When Evil Lurks, is that movie was what it was called? Yeah. But yeah, that you start off and go, oh, okay, and then you kind of get like he's kind of like the bad boy of the like the Vatican, because he like he drinks and swears and like pisses off the like the Sheldon of the Catholic Church that like is like
that guy's a little fucking bitch.
Yep, I do love how he gets like the last scene you see him is he gets like blood vomited into his mouth directly, and then like they're like the next time you don't never see him again, and the Pope's like, yeah, we got rid of that motherfucker. They like sent
he's
him to
on
like
sabbatical.
Yeah, and like they sent him to like, you know, you people joke about getting sent to Siberia, it's basically what it sounded like they did to him. They're like, here, get the fuck out of here, you asshole. So
he played Cardinal Sullivan. God, dude did a great job of making him an absolute piece of shit.
Yeah, he did.
Did not like that human.
In a very limited time. It's the very much like, I mean, it's that typical, like, I don't, like, I was just talking about Ghostbusters, right? It's like, it's the people that, like, doubt whatever the, like, is going on with the main character, and like oh yeah, he's bullshit, and then it happens and they still, it's like that fucking idiot guy from Ghostbusters 1 and 2, the redhead who like shuts him down in those like first movie or whatever, is back and he's like mayor in this new one and he's trying to shut him down again. It's like, you learned your lesson the first time, you should have learned your lesson the first time, you asshole. But this guy just gets blood vomited into his mouth and he goes and does that. I will say though, I think so they, it goes on from that into the possession of this this little kid who, it's the chick from Mike Flanagan and other stuff. What were we saying last week she was in?
She was the lead. She was lead actor or actress in Starry Eyes.
Yep.
Which we covered on the show a while back. She's one of Flanagan's girls. So she's in Doctor Sleep, Midnight Mass, Haunting of Bly Manor, Fall of the House of Usher.
Yeah.
She's in so much stuff. Like, yeah. It's kind of wild. But yeah, she, when I first saw her, I was like, dude, she looks so fucking familiar. Why does she look so fucking familiar? And then I was like, oh yeah, Starry Eyes.
Yep.
But yeah, she's phenomenal. And then her name is Alexandra Esso.
Yeah.
And then the boy, his name is Peter D'Souza Fagoni. And he has been in Girl with a Metal Heart, Pups Alone, Pomeranian Christmas. And he's in Peter Pan's Neverland Nightmare, which is upcoming, I think, or is out. I don't think it's out yet. It's in production.
That's the,
and Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey too. So it's part of that universe.
It's part of the. Do you know, Ken? What is that universe called though?
The pussy. No, what was it? Pussy.
Pooniverse.
Pooniverse. That's right. That's right, Pooniverse.
The little boy reminds me of, I was telling Ken, he reminds me of the kid from The Babadook, because he's got like, they took this kid that is perfect for this movie because he's all skinny and like scrawny looking, and so it makes the demon possession all like even better. And Ken didn't know this, and she's never seen it because it was before her time in the podcast. The other priest in this movie was the stupid boyfriend or the lover boy from It Follows. And Ken has never watched It Follows, the sexually transmitted STD ghost movie, which would be great to watch. Yeah, you need to watch that with your chat, because it is, that movie's great. It's like so good. And they're making the sequel, so you should really watch it. But yeah, so that guy is in that, and he's been in a bunch of horror movies too. And he looks a lot different, like in that movie. And dude, the fucking going into the guilt of both the preachers in this movie is pretty fucking cool. And you get some of the better shots in it, including the big titty girl getting covered in blood. Yeah.
That whole scene is hot.
Yep.
Like, excellent.
Ken's like,
Ken was under the impression she is straight, however in the last 6 months has realized maybe not. Bi.
You're about the age I started figuring out I was bi.
I mean, people are people, man, and if they're hot, they're hot. Like, that's just where we're at in life.
Just remember, this is what you say when you say you're bi. Being bi means you're attracted to 10% of men and 100% of women.
That's so, right.
Because women are way more attractive than men. It is what it is.
Sometimes.
I mean, it's a general rule,
sometimes,
but yes.
Sometimes you feel like a nut.
I mean, we were talking about, I mean, sometimes you feel like two nuts. Sometimes you don't. But it's like, we were talking about in your chat this morning about how, like, redheads like can be very hot if they're women, and
oh yeah,
redhead men
and guys. No, there are some very hot redheaded like men, redhead men with blue eyes. It's a very specific breed of redheaded men that have red hair and blue eyes. Now, auburn red hair, absolutely no problem, but like the bright orange red hair with blue eyes or green eyes, it does take a specific person for a man. But it's there.
I start thinking. I start thinking of Ed Sheeran being okay looking, and then, or the guy from Dominic, whatever his name is, from Harry Potter and Ex Machina being okay looking. But like, yeah, it's not very, like, there aren't very many, like, you just go, oh, Ron from the Harry Potter movies is kind of goofy looking, but here we go. So,
he was in Guillermo del Toro's Cabinet of Curiosities. He had one in there. He was really good in it.
That is really good, the Cabinet of Curiosities. It was also was that the one that was set in the mortuary, like the funeral home, right, with the guy Clancy Brown and stuff like that, wasn't it?
His was not the funeral. It was in some old house.
I'm thinking of the it was not. That was like the show. I'm thinking of the movie that was like in the funeral home. He wasn't in that.
Oh.
He was also in the cabin in the woods, whatever. Knock at the Cabin in the Woods movie that we watched last year.
Yeah, Knock at the Cabin or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was gonna say the other thing that I really liked, that was kind of one of the more original things they did in this movie, was that like the demons have that like that over like lapping iris kind of thing. That's pretty
cool.
And it was more like, it's like little things like that are pretty cool. And they also, they had a lot of like scenes in this movie that are just like the daughter's like head being rotated back, who, that girl reminded me of Haley Osmond or whatever the fuck her name is, the chick from the Marvel movies. Like she was in what was that fucking movie, the show with Jeremy Renner and stuff like that. What the fuck was it? Arrow, god damn it, whatever the show was called. Hawkeye. I couldn't think of his fucking
name. Didn't watch Hawkeye.
Yeah, she was in that, and she's like the young Hawkeye kind of thing. But yeah, that's who the daughter reminded me of. But yeah, it's that thing where it does that, and the family moves in this house, and the guy's like rebuilding.
They move into an abbey, right? Yeah, isn't that what it's called?
I think so. Yeah, I think that it had been in her husband's family, and then her husband died, and so they inherited it, and they are basically moving in to like fix
restore
it up,
it.
And so they sell it, and they have. Like, they don't go into much about, like it doesn't sound like seem like she's working anymore or something like that, because she's talking about not having money. But, yeah, so they're in there, and the people redoing the construction, like, basically, they, like, kind of, like, break the Ghostbuster seal. They, like, break the vault and let this demon out, and it goes straight for the little kid. And you figure out slowly over the movie that they're not really looking for the kid. The kid isn't the target audience of these things. It's this whole conspiracy for the Spanish Inquisition. They're trying to take over a priest, so that they could get into the fucking Vatican and fuck shit up again, which they did during the Spanish Inquisition is the whole thing, right? So,
there's a lot of information in this movie that references the Book of Enoch, which one day I will sit down and finally read all the way through, because the Book of Enoch is fascinating. The bits that I've gotten to read and like the summaries and bits and pieces. Mm-hmm. So like even the call out of like, there's 200 of these locations across the world, you know, that they mention at one point in the movie towards the end.
Yeah.
That's pulled from the Book of Enoch. Like there's so much interesting stuff in it.
I don't know if I know what the Book of Enoch is.
So the Book of Enoch is one of the books of the Bible that was quote unquote lost / pulled / they don't want it to, you know, exist, whatever. And some of the stuff in the Book of Enoch talks about angels, like beautiful angels, not like, you know, the fucked up real angels that nobody ever wants to talk about. Coming to the earth specifically to mate with women and to like try to spread their lineage across the earth. There's a lot more to it, but like basically your Nephilim come from that concept.
Okay. Yeah.
Like there's a lot more in the Book of Enoch. And again, I haven't read it. That's just based off of very loose understanding. So if I'm wrong about that, feel free to tweet at me @continue on Twitter. or X or whatever the fuck you want to call it. But so there's a lot of polls from this about these fallen angels, these demons, these different entities, these 200 locations, all these different things that pull from the Book of Enoch, which is really cool. And it's nice to see. So this is definitely just a random side note of something interesting.
No, it's definitely interesting because it's like, yeah, it's that stuff is always fascinating to me. I'm trying to think of like, what was the demon's name? The demon's name in this movie. I'm trying to think of it. Asmodeus. Okay.
Asmodeus.
Asmodeus, whatever it was. So I had they figure out his name down in the fucking like where the Spanish Inquisition, like where the preacher like swallowed a key to like keep like the demon locked up, but they never said the name to the demon. They only said it like down in the fucking things, and then never said it to him. And I'm just like, why didn't you say it to him? And I thought that was like the whole point. It was like how you get a demon out of it is like you do the thing, because then they like then
say
they just,
my name, say my name. No, around you.
Say baby, I love you. Say Satan, I love you.
Hell.
But was I like crazy about that? I'm like, why didn't they ever have like actually like say his name? And I thought it was like that's how you get it out. Is I mean, isn't that like the whole like the Exorcist is like they get his name and like to get him out of
cast him out? Yeah. I thought so too, but I don't know.
I was just like, that was weird. But like that whole ending of that movie goes in. That's when it starts feeling more like a Hollywood movie at that point. Cause they're like, we got to have our like Russell Crowe gets possessed. And it's like, it's supposedly like the king of hell that could possess three people at a time. But then Russell Crowe's just like, nah, mate, fuck you. I'm too strong because I'm fighting around the world with Russell Crowe. Do you remember that from South Park?
I don't remember that.
There's a whole segment when they're watching TV where it's just like Russell Crowe's like goes around to other places in the world and just gets in fist fights with people because he's, you know, notoriously has a big temper. But
he turns 60 in 2 weeks.
Damn.
On April 7th.
What is it?
I only know that because the movie premiered on his 59th birthday.
Nice. What were you saying? Like, I feel like this is like getting into Kin's kink now because we know how she felt about David Harbour in Violent Night, and I think Russell Crowe's got that dad bod going in this movie pretty well. He's got
the dad bod, but he's a little bit too old for me as far as like his dad bod is closer to a grandpa bod, I guess. Like he's attractive, but he's a little bit too much older for me. There's like a stopgap there, but he is a cutie.
Okay, I was wondering as I'm looking it up. David Harbour is 48, so it's like you have to.
48 is different than 60.
He looks way older than 48.
No, David Harbour does not look way older than
48. I'm 40. He looks more than 10 years older than, or 8 years older than me.
Listen, okay. He's just a snuggly dad bod man that I just would love to curl up next to and read a good book and then do other things with later if his beautiful wife, Lily Allen, would ever approve. Or she can join us too. I don't care.
I mean, as Kim's exploring her sexuality, she might want to fuck Mr. and Mrs. Claus. Hey, it is, who knows? Who knows?
I don't know.
I think that like, man, it's one of those things where I think that like Russell Crowe plays this perfectly because it's like he commits to it in a way that is pretty perfect to the role, right? Especially it being a real person, right? And it reminds me a lot of like what the Conjuring movies, right? And we talked about this last week when we were trying to record, and how like those two were real people and keeps learning more about him and thinks they were
the more I learn about the less I like the Warrens.
The Warrens,
the less I like the Warrens. Yeah. Like, yeah. I always thought they were cool as fuck. And then the more that comes out about them, the more I'm like, ew, David. Gross.
I mean, they were con artists. I mean, they're snake oil.
They were massive con artists that took advantage of so many people and then took credit for shit they didn't do and, like, fluffed around with their big old fluffy feathers like they were something.
Yeah.
They were something. They were good at getting what they wanted and getting the attention they felt they needed. They were great at what they did.
You ever meet someone like in modern times? So you go like, I met this guy who was from Morocco, I think is where he's from. And he's like, you know, a couple years younger than me. And the first time I met him, I'm like, dude, you would have been a snake oil salesman like 100 years ago. You would have been running around just conning people out of their lunch money and shit like that. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like what they were. It's funny because that's like they were mainly active in the 70s, right? And then I don't know how much their career went into the early 80s, but like or into the 80s. But this movie takes place in what, 86 it was? I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, they talk about how he kept doing exorcisms until like he died in like 2016. So, I mean, it was a long time and he did this shit. And it was like 30 years plus or whatever. But, another thing about this movie that I thought was a little weird, it was like they never said the Pope. Like it was like Russell Crowe kind of says the Pope at one point, saying like he's his boss. But then the Pope's in the movie a bunch, and they don't ever call him the Pope. And then the Pope is the one who like vomits blood into that guy's mouth, which is the best scene in the whole movie. But I think it was pretty interesting that they like. They find this, like, all the Spanish Inquisition stuff and how, like, they basically used it to get the demon, used it to get into the Catholic Church and, like, cause the Spanish Inquisition. And then he was like, nah, that plan worked well enough. I want to do it again, basically, right? So he wanted the sequel. No one's original anymore. They just want to do recycle ideas just like Hollywood. He's like, oh, the Spanish Inquisition worked once. Let us do it again. Mwahaha.
Maybe they'll do a different great war this time.
I don't know. I mean, this movie, like, they set up the end where they, like, Russell Crowe is, like, he's too badass to be possessed by a demon, which is really what it was. He was just, like, they, like, tag-team the demon and, like, they get him out. And that's where all the bad CG is at the very end of the movie. That set is cool, though. Like, the set underneath the house, under the abbey, is pretty fucking cool. Because it's, like, you got the weird stones and, like the pentagram and that one rock and shit like that. And, like, there's some cool effects in that scene, especially, like, where they're lighting it up with, like, fire and stuff like that. But, like, that's where it kind of goes and you go, oh, this is, like, you kind of see the $18 million budget here. But, like, compared to everything else, right?
Yeah.
But you know what? It's funny because this movie is such a good example of you don't need to have like the most original idea. You just need to like have a good script. You need to have actors that are good and just like people that are passionate
good execution.
About
execution.
Yeah, because this movie was so much better than that last Exorcist movie, which was just boring and fucking not. Great and just like not a fun time to watch, and this movie was it's fun. It's like you're like you get to turn your brain off and just enjoy the demon possession, and the little kid kills it. It's like the creepy little kid, even though it's not his voice the whole time. They're like either or they're modulating the shit out of whatever they're doing with it. But it's like it's just like it's well done, and Russell Crowe's great, and everyone in the movie is great, does a really good job, and it's just like. It just shows you don't always need, like, execution is what matters, right? And coming from a guy who will love a shitty movie as long as it's entertaining, this movie wasn't shitty, and, like, it wasn't boring, and I'm excited that they're supposedly making a sequel, and I'm excited for that, and I hope it's just as good, and they do more like fighting demons around the world with Russell Crowe. So we'll see how that goes. But I know you like this movie enough. You had it on your top movies of last year, right? So, I mean, you were really into this. I know that after you saw it, you got all excited. So
I like exorcism movies. I really like anything, like, especially horror related that falls into religion. I don't know. I've just always found it really interesting and really fascinating. And I do like the fact that, like, you know, at the root of horror, right, outside of entertainment, it's to pull things that we're afraid of and that we don't understand. And regardless of how much comfort religion provides to a large amount of the populace, many individuals are afraid of religion. That's why there's that whole tactic of like, oh, well, if you're bad, then you go to the hot timeout seat. So I think that it's interesting to utilize that baseline fear and place it into something as a means of entertainment, like movies. So religious horror, I'm all about.
At some point, I think we should do The Exorcist 3 on this podcast because I fucking love that movie.
And I need to watch it anyway. I've put it off for too long. So yes.
Maybe we do that next week then.
Works for me.
I love The Exorcist 3. It has the best jump scare in like horror fucking history, and it's just such a great movie. We could do that next week and we continue the Exorcist things. But yeah, it's just like, well, it's because religion is such a fucking scary weapon, man. Like, that's like, I'm not gonna dive in too much.
Religion is like the beginning of all cults, just as a thing. No matter how many times somebody wants to tell you a religion is not a cult, it most certainly is. It does not matter the size of their religion. Does not matter the origin, and a religion at its truest form is a cult. Yep. Doesn't necessarily mean that the word cult has negative connotation there. It's a cult.
I mean, this is the thing, I'm just going to touch it and not go into it too much, but the Republican Party in America has used this religion for nefarious reasons on a regular basis. And it is, they use it to manipulate the people that are, let's be honest, they target uneducated people. They target and they use religion to like motivate them for everything they do. It's religion. It's fear. And they use fear from Democrats and fear from God. And
exactly. Why religious horror, again, at its root, is like one of the purest forms of terror that you're going to find because everything is involved when it comes to religion.
Definitely. I just think that this movie does a good job of just talking about it and not making it like, cause there was some movie with it was the guy from Boondock Saints, the Sean Patrick Flannery, whatever his name is, the one guy from that movie. Mm-hmm. They did this movie. He did a movie last year, I think it was, where it was like, he was a convicted killer on like death row, and some like detective comes in to talk to him. And it's like, it's basically just a religious movie going back and forth between those two. But from a Christian horror movie kind of shit. Like it, kind of sounds like it was like try like if something like Left Behind, but like, you know, like that kind of thing where they're using religion to scare people.
I have
people.
To know, did you read the Left Behind books growing up?
Oh no, fuck that. No. Okay. No.
So if you don't know what the Left Behind books are, really just throwing this out there, because there is the Left Behind movie and all that shit, but like, so the Left
Kirk
Behind
Cameron.
Books, yeah, Kirk Cameron. Well, that was like the second remake of them. There were adult versions and teen versions. The adult versions were from the adult perspective. The teens were from the teen perspective. Obviously, the teen books were much thinner than the adult books. I read all of the teen ones because when they came out, I was like 12 or something. Yeah. And that was a trip. That was a ride. We went on an adventure. And it was very heavily utilized in a lot of different religious aspects and cults and organizations and just church in general. So if you ever get a chance, read it just for grins and giggles. Maybe don't read the adult ones just because that's a lot of time of your life you won't get back. But the teens are short reads. Maybe read one or two of the first ones and see what you think.
I was like, if you were 12, so I was probably like 18-ish. So I was like, you're running around being a high schooler and not reading anymore. But yeah, nah, man, that's not. Fuck that shit, man.
It's wild this is kind of a sub parse off, I guess, but at the same time, not really, because it still handles with religion. It is wild to me the shit that religious organizations will put in front of children and say, oh, this is something you need to know about that's like terrible, but then they want to like shelter everything else under the sun. It's so wild.
They get mad about kids' books where characters have two dads. And it's just like,
Sinner.
You know, as we know, though, the statement, I think thou detest too much is a statement for a reason, is a thing for a reason, because usually if you're complaining about gay raccoons in books or whatever it is, you might want to be in an airport, like, waiting for a dick to come through a glory hole, because that's what you really mm-hmm. want. And you're just ashamed of yourself. So, mm-hmm. what was I was laughing about someone claiming that this was the whole thing, but it was like saying that like some Lil Nas song was gonna make people gay, and then like someone's response was like, oh, well, then just make them straight again with the wet ass pussy song. It's just like,
yeah,
if it works that way, it goes back and forth. Like,
that's really funny.
We're going off this thing, but like, if why would anyone pick a lifestyle that made you the target of harassment and like ridicule?
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I did like this movie. I like, it's not like, again, it's not like super in depth or anything like that. It's not going to change your like your view of the world or anything like that. But this is just fun horror, and like doing. There wasn't like last year wasn't as good like for. As like the year before with like, you know, Hollywood horror, like we had the Don't Talk to Me, which was Australian, right?
Talk to Me, you goober.
I am the gooberest of goobers. And this movie, I think, like did a good job in that. And also, did you see now, and I don't think we talked about it, Ken, because it was in between the last time we recorded now, that they're doing Scream 7 again with Neve Campbell and
I heard.
And Bangs McGee is coming back again.
I heard. That should be interesting.
I hope it's good. I hope they gave her the money she deserves, so.
I hope that they make What's-Her-Face wear that bang piece again.
From Scream 3? Oh,
Courtney Cox. I want her to have to wear those bangs again.
Oh, God.
That's the real killer in the movie, though. Like,
I hate that.
That's Ghostface.
I hate it so bad. I hate it. It's a wig, too. It's a wig. That's what's so like pieces. Insane about it.
Oh. Yeah.
Fucking wow. Wow. Okay.
I love it.
Is there anything else you want to say about this before we wrap up then, Ken?
I want to say that you should watch it. I want to also know of any other Exorcist-esque movies that you like. So tweet them at me. Tweet at Murder Moose and then tag me as well. And I want to see what other Exorcism-esque or religious-esque horror that you guys are into.
Yes. Yes. Do what Ken says. And yeah, right. We're going to keep it going. And we're going to go and watch The Exorcist 3 next week. I was going to say last week, like we went into the past to watch it, but no. So The Exorcist 3 is great. And so I'm excited because it's a weird fucking movie, but like Brad Dourif's in it and fucking kills it. He's so good in that movie. And there's some weird fucking scenes in that movie, including an old lady on the ceiling. So, I'm excited to hear what Ken thinks about it. So, Exorcist 3 week. Not Exorcist 2, one of the worst movies ever made, but Exorcist 3. So,
and we'll either watch it. Well, this will come out after the fact. I was going to say we will watch it in Discord, but it'll be after the fact. So,
yeah. Okay. Go to murdermoose.com and get some merch. Go to YouTube and look for Murder Moose Podcast, and you can do that thing there. Go to continue.com and get all her links. And you can find me on Twitter and Twitch and stuff at @Roger_Johnston. So thank you for listening. Sorry about the delay. My internet completely fucked us up last week. But we're back. So We will see you guys later. Thank you for listening. Thanks for being awesome. And we'll catch you guys next week. So
bye. Yeah.